It's time for another edition of Dome and Domer.
Hey, Irish fans. Welcome back to Dome and Domer, the oldest Notre Dame sports podcast on the planet. I'm your host, Mike Sullivan, and joining me as always, my Dylan Hall roommate from the class of 1990, Mike Brammer. Bram, how are things in sunny South Florida?
Definitely a lot warmer than where you're at, that's for sure. Yeah,
no question about that. Okay, we're going to talk about the Coach Freeman press conference as we head into Stanford week. Before we do that, let's look back at this date in Notre Dame history. I've got two great ones for you, Bram, and hopefully all of our listeners out there are going to remember these games and enjoy the memories. 2012, Irish go out to the Coliseum undefeated, playing the Trojans. Lots of bad nightmares about going into the Coliseum late in the year and things not going well. And we exercised a lot of ghosts with a 22-13 win over USC to finish 12-0, ranked number one going into the BCS championship. I remember Theo Riddick having a huge game, 146 yards rushing, and Kyle Brinza kicked 5 field goals in that game. Is that even still legal? Can you kick field goals in a game? It's been so long, I don't even remember what that's like. Now, that's also a double-edged sword. 5 field goals is actually too many, right? You got to cash in and get 6. But, wow.
Yeah, night game, too. That was awesome. That was a heck of a moment for us, just being as nervous as we were going into the game, and then to have it end up the way that it did was, yeah, I'll take it. 5 field goals, who cares? We want.
Absolutely. I remember taking my kids down to campus to greet the team when the buses pulled in to campus, having completed that undefeated season. Man, we were pretty psyched about that. Another undefeated Irish team goes into the Coliseum in 2018 on this date and beats the Trojans 24-17. That 2018 team, I love that team. Ian Book came up so big all year long, but in that game, you know, Book had threw just a dime to Chris Fink to get the Irish on the board. We were down 10-0, and Book hits Fink on a corner route. Unbelievable throw and catch. And then the clincher to Tony Jones when SC comes with an all-out blitz and we leak Tony Jones out of the backfield and he takes it the distance to clinch the game. But your guy, your South Florida guy, Dexter Williams, another big run for Dexter in 2018. He had a lot of home runs and he took one to the house. But Ian Book, I remember in that first touchdown drive, again, we're down 10-0 and there's like a third down and Book scrambles, puts his shoulder down and runs over a USC defender to keep the drive alive. And we go on with that touchdown pass to Fink. So 24-17, another undefeated season, capping it off in LA. Nothing better than that, Bram.
Yep. I'll take that all day long, as well as Palo Alto next week.
Right. So we head into a little bit different environment. We're going to have way more Notre Dame fans in the stadium than Stanford will have in their home stadium. That's how it always is when we're out there. But it will be great to go out there as a 32.5-point favorite. The Irish through 11 games, I mean, we absolutely look like a national championship contender, certainly a college football playoff worthy team. So the key stats that we've been looking at all year long: pass efficiency, we're 5th in the country. Rushing offense, 19th. Rushing defense, 13th. Total D, all the way up to 22nd in total defense. And turnover margin, 5th in the country. These are the characteristics that all championship caliber teams over the last 25 years have, per Eric Hansen. He's been tracking this stuff for years, and he's spot on, right? And this looks like, this Notre Dame team looks like a championship caliber team, certainly playing as good as anybody in the country right now.
Yeah, especially after those first two games. You look at the 7 games after the first two, and man, they've been absolutely lights out. So the trend's going, I mean, they're peaking at the right time. This is really awesome to see, but just can't have a letdown Saturday. I don't expect it, but 32.5, that's a lot of points.
It's a lot of points to cover. Like, you know, I'm not sure we may not cover, right? I think it's the largest point spread for anybody in college football this weekend. It's a lot of points to cover. You know, who knows, right?
Yeah, they just played really well last weekend too. It's not like Stanford's, you know, losing their last five games. They just won a pretty big game last weekend. So
they won the big game against Cal, right? 31-10. And actually, Stanford has played a little bit better over the last few weeks. Statistically, they're awful. And this game should not be close. And I expect that we're going to bring the same focus that we've seen the last couple of years. And that's what it's all about. Freeman, again, in his press conference every Monday, we watch that press conference. And again, he's just so impressive. But he talks about the same things over and over, which is win this play, win this interval. What's right in front of you is the only thing that matters. And it's that focus. He's focused on the Legends Trophy, right? Winning a rivalry game. It always cracks me up when we call it a rivalry game, right? Because I don't think of Stanford as a rival, but there's a trophy on the line, so I guess it is. But he is so focused on the opportunity right in front of you, and that gets all the way down to the kids. And I think that's why you see the great performances that we've seen year in and year out. With our backs against the wall, like last year, right? We're playing all these elimination games, and you got to have tremendous focus to navigate that.
Yeah, it's been impressive that he's done this 2 years in a row. I was a bit shocked. I mean, I thought this year was going to be real tough to repeat that, to have that kind of pressure two straight years in a row. And it just goes to show the level of detail for this team, because he's just executed all the way. I expect we'll do so Saturday as well, but that's not an easy thing to do, to have that on your back the entire time and to execute like they have. So hats off to them for sure.
Yeah. And you got to keep in mind, like, these are kids, right? These are young adults with a lot on their plate and a really tough place academically and all the other things going on in their lives, right? To block out the noise and keep everybody focused takes tremendous leadership. And, Cal just fired their coach. I don't know any of the details, but, people are not patient in this environment, college football. Freeman got off to a bumpy start his first year, right? We lost four games in the regular season. You know, the patience has been rewarded because he's got this thing really, really humming right along. And the ability to keep everybody focused on the message is impressive. So, again, in the press conference, he's asked once again, let's talk about the defensive improvement and what do you attribute that to? He comes back over and over. It wasn't play calling. It wasn't schematic. It is about, executing the fundamentals. And he said it wasn't about a call. It was about just being better at what we're doing and getting everybody to stay focused on that. And to me, that's coaching, right? That is tremendous coaching.
Yeah, it is. And it's clearly showed. I'm 100% believer that it was not at all Freeman calling the plays in the third game or something like that.
Of course not.
I mean, I get it. Everybody wants answers. Everybody was calling for Ash's head after the first two games. But, the reality is we've got a lot of talent on this football team. So if you got the talent, then you just got to execute the fundamentals because they're going to compete. They're going to be good. And it shows in the way that we're playing right now, especially the way that we're peaking. I mean, we are literally peaking at the exact right time. And I expect that to continue Saturday. I don't see a big, huge letdown coming.
Yeah. So we talked about, obviously, the news on KVA, that broke yesterday. And Freeman addressed that again today. That is a loss, no question. Guy was playing at a high level for our defense.
He was playing at a real high level. He's just a physical guy too, which, he's big for that position. And I he just moves so well. I think he's causes a lot of havoc, even though he may not get the sack, man, he's putting pressure. He's getting in the quarterbacks, he gets in that circle that makes quarterbacks uncomfortable. And he does it repeatedly, and that's a big loss to lose him, I think. I think it's going to be tough.
His versatility is on the defense, right? So he is an excellent blitzer and pass rusher. He's a great run stopper, and he could cover in space, right? So he's a guy that does so much that you need in your defense. Now, we have a talented, deep roster, right? And Fariamo, right, the freshman from California, is going to see increased playing time, and everybody's really high on him. But there's no getting around that KVA is one of the standouts on the defense. And so that's going to be a tough one. But hey, a long season, this stuff is going to happen. And that's just the way it goes, yeah. right? So next yeah. man in.
It won't be the last injury through right. these playoffs either. That's the unfortunate thing.
Right. You feel bad for the kid, but you know, you gotta keep going moving forward. Yeah. Now we should be getting some guys back. One of the guys back potentially, Noah Burnett, our place kicker, is available this week. I think they're going to evaluate that throughout the course of the week, but that, you know, you might have him back. You expect in the playoff run or the postseason to have Billy Strouth back. You expect to have Gabe Rubio back. You expect to have Greathouse back. You expect to have Tay Johnson back. So, you know, we are going to get healthier, and that's a good sign. But you're right. You know, there's going to be other guys that get dinged. That's just the nature of the thing. So let's talk a little bit about playoffs and the college football rankings tomorrow night. The next round comes out. Again, these all give you a glimpse. None of it matters until the one after the conference championships, but a glimpse. And what is your expectation, Bram, on where the Irish will come in this week's
rankings? I think they're going to stay right there. I did watch something that was kind of interesting. I had not heard this explanation before, but the CFP kind of groups teams. So they'll take like four teams and say, okay, of these four teams, let's position these guys. And right now, because of the disparity between Notre Dame and USC, they've not been, or not USC, but Notre Dame and Miami, they have not been in that same four-team group. Well, that's going to happen eventually, especially if both of us win. And so then you've got these four teams that now are being matched in that group of four, and head-to-head is going to come into play.
Well, I don't know that Miami is going to be put in that pool of direct comparison with us. I don't think that's a foregone conclusion. I assume that the group that we're in consists of Oklahoma, Alabama, Notre Dame, and you know, maybe a Texas Tech or a Ole Miss, right? I mean, you would expect that we're in that group. I don't know.
Yeah, but it's the 9, 10, 11, right? And then Ole Miss. So it's those. And look, there's a lot that can happen. I mean, we're sitting here talking about college football playoffs. We could spend 30 minutes just about the different scenarios that could happen.
Let's do that on Thursday.
Right. I mean, there's just a lot of that could happen. But I just find it. I think Notre Dame is going to stay right where they're at. I mean, really, the entire thing is not going to move except for a couple of positions behind us. Everybody else stays where they're at. I don't think there's any movement there.
Yeah, I don't either. I think it's probably exactly how it played out with obviously Pitt expected to be in the rankings this week. And that's great for us because that currently gives our resume two wins over teams ranked in the top 25. Theoretically, could that be three by the time everything is wrapped up? Navy could be ranked as well if they get their 10th win, and I think that's going to be against Memphis. So they've got a big game this week, which Navy versus Memphis might be an important game for us, right? And so you might end up with three ranked wins. You know, again, we'll take a look at the weekend lineup and who we need to do what, but that's one of those games where, you know, every data point to differentiate you from a Miami maybe is important. Yeah, I do think, you know, we know that we don't completely control our own destiny. I agree with that. But we're pretty close. And a lot of the pundits out there are saying, yeah, Notre Dame's probably a lock. Others are saying, not so fast, my friend. One of the stories that you talked about was Ole Miss and what the Lane Kiffin situation might mean for Ole Miss's placement in the college football playoffs.
Yeah, I don't think now look, it's going to be you definitely have to take it into consideration. You're the football committee. If all of a sudden Lane Kiffin walks away Saturday, that's obviously not a positive impact to the program. So I think they definitely take that into consideration. I think it basically will cost them a home game is probably what's going to happen. I think they'll drop maybe one or two, three spots as a result of that, but I doubt they'll kick him out. I don't think you can do that. You can't kick him out of the playoffs.
I totally agree.
I think the
Lane Kiffin situation has, in my opinion, like this all assumes that he's going to LSU or Florida or whatever, right? He could, I suppose he could just stay put. But in the event that he leaves, what's that do to the team as they're preparing for a rivalry game against Mississippi State. I mean, they're better than Mississippi State.
Well, he's announcing Saturday. The game's Friday.
I understand that, but the uncertainty.
Oh, yeah,
the
right
distraction,
now. Yeah.
Right. What does that do to the preparation? Secondly, right. Then to your point, let's say that he goes. Yeah, that probably cost him a home game. I agree with you. Right. I mean, that's a bit of an unusual situation. And again, only being the second year of the playoffs, there's still a lot of precedent being set. So we don't know how this is going to impact that. So, that's an interesting situation to keep your eye on. You know, another one is Cal just fired their coach. You know, they're 6-5 and bowl eligible, but I guess at Cal they have higher aspirations, right? I think they're a 500 program, and there they sit. Cal has SMU this week, and so being without their coach, you know, it would be nice if Cal could beat SMU. That's helpful for the ACC championship game narrative, right? I want to see Pitt get in there, right? I want to see I think that would be outstanding.
Yeah, I mean, ideally,
if Pitt could end up getting an ACC championship.
Yeah, as weird as it sounds now, we're probably wanting a Miami loss on Friday or Saturday. Just because it just clears the air and clears that issue. And it doesn't negatively hurt us, I think, at this point in the season. Because of where we're at the moment, and a lot of it being based on the eye test. So that being the case, I kind of feel like, man, that wouldn't be a bad thing for Miami to lose. Now, if Miami wins, then you want them sneaking into the championship game and then winning that. And then
that's the problem, though. Like, I'm with you. I want to see Miami lose and just end it. And then, okay, we have a week one loss to an 8-9-3 team, whatever. It's no longer a great loss, but it's not a horrible loss. On a last minute field goal. The problem, as we know, is, what if Miami looks good? Their path to the conference championship is not very clean. The odds are they're not going to make the conference championship and therefore not be the automatic qualifier. And what we don't want is Miami to be an at-large at 10-2, right? That would be complicating for
us. Well, at the end of the day, the first team out, that 13th team is going to be screaming, just like it is every year, right? So it's going to be no different. It's just that if it's Notre Dame and Miami both in, somebody's going to be throwing a tissy fit. But I just don't see Miami in and us out. I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's more likely that Miami gets in as an at-large based on gut, as I think they're going to vote them in, but we'll see.
No, that would be really bad. I mean, we've been saying
I think
this
it's bad for us, but I think
all year long,
both of us are in. If Miami's in, we're both in.
I don't think there's a scenario for that, Bram. We've been saying this all year long. The math doesn't work if the ACC gets two. The Big Ten and the SEC can combine for 8, and we're okay.
Yeah, because assuming that we get 3 out of the Big Ten, then
there's going to be 5 in the SEC.
There's going to be 5, so that's 8.
Right, and that means there is no room for 2 in the ACC or 2 from the Big 12. As soon as you get to 2 in the ACC, we got a problem, right? So I don't think that's going to happen. Miami as an at-large team is death for us, okay? And unless there's complete chaos everywhere else.
Well, yeah, I mean, Oklahoma could lose, and that would knock them out. LSU could beat them. That totally could happen. That's not that far-fetched. LSU's decent.
I think that's about a 10-point spread. I tell you, the game that, you know, Washington is only 6.5-point dog at home to Oregon. Like, that one helps us if that one can go that way.
That would be huge.
All right, way more to come this week. And, you know, we'll tune in tomorrow night like everybody else and see that the rankings are essentially going to be unchanged.
Yeah,
but
it's going to be
the same. More like, what's the narrative around Notre Dame? What are they saying?
Yeah.
And then it's all going to come down to this week's games. Does everybody hold serve? And if that's the case, championship weekend then becomes a very big deal. You know, one of the things, again, the hypocrisy of the narrative of in the media is, Notre Dame doesn't have a championship game. Yeah, guess what? Ole Miss doesn't either, right? And, you know, Oklahoma's not going to play a championship game. And, like, so what are we talking about here, right? About a third of the field, will not play for a conference championship. So,
right.
But we're the only ones that that becomes an issue for, right? So,
yeah, exactly.
All right, let's Oregon. They're not playing for the conference championship in all likelihood either, right? So we're going to leave it there. We'll be back either Wednesday night or early Thursday morning, right? We'll take into account that it's the holiday, Bram, and so Dome and Domer has to make some concessions for Thanksgiving celebrations. So we'll be back later this week, and we'll talk more about the game with Stanford and get deeper into the scenarios for the college football playoffs. For Mike Brammer, I'm Mike Sullivan. We'll see you next time.